He's 58, so he's got a...
Oh, yeah, he's 58?
Yeah, he's 58.
I didn't know he was that much younger.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome everyone to the EDC meeting. Today is, help me out, 5/21/2005.
2025.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
I'd like to go back to 2005.
Yeah. 2025. Thank you. Looks like first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from April 17th, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion for meeting minutes from April 17th, 2025? Hearing, seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Looks like that carries. I'll entertain a motion to suspend our meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second to suspend our current meeting. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. It's a public meeting for public comments. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, is there any public comments? One more time, any public comments? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to reconvene our meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Well, that's a lot of work. All right, moving on to the EDC resolution number 2025-02. Can I entertain a motion to hear that?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Thank you. Discussion.
Do you want to introduce the Zeke and the project, and then I'll take over the legal part.
Yes, we have Zeke Turner here, who's the representative of the project, the Vita Lifestyle Project, so he'll tell us more about it and answer any questions you have.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. So thank you for waiting on me. I had one of those fun I-65 experiences where inexplicably we're just stopped, you know. My wife's from Lafayette, so I've done this a lot of times over a lot of the years, and so you kind of get used to it. We're really excited about this project. The project is located at State Road 38 and Park East Boulevard, which will be really nice when that's running north-south. That'll be really nice. We actually would be the dead end of that interchange when it comes to be really kind of the new Creasy, right? Alleviate some of the traffic there. This is an active adult project, so it's for ages 55 plus, which is in real need in this market. It's a high-quality project. There's 198 total units, but they're split between a four-story building that will sit there towards the front of State Road 38 near the interchange with the light that is existing right now, and then there'll be 66 cottage-style units also on the campus. We did set those back a bit, so there'll be 4 acres of outlots there that the market will dictate what those ultimately end up being. But we think that with the new residences that we're going to have on our campus, as well as what's happening with Park East Boulevard, that's going to be a really nice interchange there on that corner. And if it's anything like one we just developed in New Whiteland, which is just south of Greenwood in Indianapolis, in Johnson County, we're able to develop a retail center there that's going to have several different outlot developments. We've got a Dunkin' Donuts, a Jimmy John's, Sweet Greens, salad places coming in, which is really nice. It helps to complete that campus. And, you know, if things go well, maybe something like that will also occur here. Active adult is a fairly new term in kind of the broader category of 55 plus. It's really replacing what traditionally would have been independent living in the past. You have, when you get up into the plus 55 age, which my wife reminded me is not that far off from me anymore. So I turned 48 next week, and a couple nights ago she said to me that I was 46 years old. And I had to inform her, not only was I not 46, that I was actually 47, and that next week I'm turning 48. And her face, when she realized she lost 2 years of me in that moment, was surprising. She goes, you know, that's just a rounding error, right? I mean, you're basically 50. I said, that's not helping me at all. So what we find in a lot of markets is that there are people who would like to live in a little bit more social environment, a little bit more dynamic environment. This campus is going to have beautiful apartments. They're large apartments, 1 and 2 bedrooms. The cottages are 2 bedrooms with attached garage, so they're a really nice place if you're thinking about maybe downsizing. We hear from a lot of communities in the state that housing is a big need. We know that's true here as well. And one of the ways to have new housing is to develop new. which is one of the things we're doing. But the other thing it does, particularly when you get into the downsizing stage or that place, if that's a good lifestyle choice for someone, is that frees up that existing stock then for somebody else to be able to come in and buy. And so instead of building new as we expand out, we also then open up in the interior of the community to open up those houses for somebody else new to come in and buy, which we find is a real benefit. It's indirect. We don't count it anywhere in our economic data, but it's an indirect benefit that's real positive. This four-story building is going to have a lot of amenities in it. We're going to have a cafe. We've got a pet wash station. We got a fitness center, a really nice courtyard that's going to have pickleball. It's got bocce ball, outdoor fire feature and water feature, gazebo, grills. It's a very socially, intentionally socially derived environment, along with walking trails that we're tying in with the city system, creating sidewalks along there. There's a roundabout, which, you know, people like, I guess. We're going to pay for it, but people like it. And we're really excited about the project. It's got kind of a European type of look and feel with a nice cornice on the top, black and white siding, high quality exterior materials. And we know from what we've studied in the market that there is an intense need for this type of product. Everything that is of 55 plus in the community is full with long waiting lists. And so we see that as the community has grown, and you've done a great job economically and appropriately growing the community and continue to do so, that this is going to fit in really well and help to alleviate some of that demand and be a really nice project. So I welcome any questions or thoughts that you've got on the project, and maybe get into some more detail if you want me to.
Now, you said that it's 198
It units, is, yes.
Right? And does that 198, is the 68 cottage type included in the 198?
That's in that number. So the 66 cottages, and then the 132, I think is the right number, is in the actual apartment building itself. Yeah.
Zeke, could you go into a little bit about the affordability on some of the units, please, so they understand the full gamut there?
Yeah, and affordability can kind of be a loaded term sometimes, and so I want to speak to that. So one thing that happens in the idea of affordability is that you have two different contingents of people that you're talking about. So one is anything that would be kind of in the working age, and that certainly has some certain connotations to it, some good, some bad. When you get over age 55, especially when you start getting up into the average age, we know from our other properties that the average age here will be right around age 70. So even though we say 55 plus, the average age is going to be closer to 70. I probably should have said that a little earlier. So what happens, though, at that age, although still a lot of people are working at that age, is that a lot of people have been middle income for their entire life, and they've been middle income by virtue of a working salary. One day, they decide to stop working, and now they're living on fixed income, right? And that's a natural progression of life. But it takes a lot of assets to live on fixed income to still have a middle income cash flow coming in for life today, even at higher interest rates. And so what we find is that as people start to make that transition, affordability in their housing becomes a major issue for them. So their whole life, you know, they've been working, they've been doing what we want them to do in communities, they've been active members of a society, and then they retire, and then all of a sudden they start counting the numbers, they start talking to their financial advisor or whoever they use, and they realize that they can't afford what they thought they could afford. And with living longer, those dollars have to stretch a lot further than they ever have. And so the idea of housing and how they're going to pay for that becomes a major consideration in their life. So what we do and what our entire company is actually built around is the idea of bringing a nice option, a high-quality option to people in a way that is accessible to them and an affordability. So what we do in our projects then is we mix in a bunch of different affordability options into our projects. So we really cover the gamut from people who have done well but have just not been able to ever save up very much to people who actually have a little bit more. And we'll have everything in this property from 40% of area median income all the way up to full market rate and a blend in there. And there's about an equal blend of all those things. We'll have 40%, we'll have 60% of AMI, 80% of AMI, area median income, and then a full market rate in our project so that people are met at where they are in their life. Sometimes that's something that they'd be able to get ahead and predict. Sometimes that's a situation they find themselves in, maybe they weren't fully prepared for. We don't want people to not have that option. You know, we think about it that a lot of the things that are in the category we're in will typically go high end to the right. They're the full service, high end type of project. And that's fine. There's a lot of people that do that and do that well. We've specifically chosen not to. you know, in the state of Indiana, there's a JW Marriott. It's downtown Indianapolis. It's a really nice place. I've stayed there. If I take my wife away for an evening, if we get away from the many, many kids that we have, you know, that's a nice option. But there's one of those in the state of Indiana, and it serves its purpose. There's a lot of Courtyard by Marriotts. A lot, 50, 60, 70 of those in the state of Indiana. We much rather would be in that option of being more like the Courtyard by Marriott, which is a very nice place, but at a reasonable price, than trying to be the JW Marriott. Does that cover it?
Yeah, thank you very much. I know it's important to me and it's important to the community to know that it's just that model. We really want market rate mixed in with other affordability. Yeah. That's just absolutely a wonderful model.
Yeah, and from a lifestyle standpoint, you know, as people do get older, and that's real, it happens. My parents have just gone through this where, you know, they just built a 3-bedroom, 1,800 square foot, garden style house. And I never thought my parents, who are in their early 70s, would build that and live there. You know, not because there's anything wrong with it, but just because, you know, they're moving from a much larger place. But my mom started to have some physical issues. She started to deal with a few things in her life. And taking care of a bigger house is just tough. You know, then you got to either hire somebody to do your yard work or you got to go out and try to do it yourself. And they want to run and do grandkid things and all this. And they just realized at some point that it was better to go ahead and monetize the equity from that home, live in something that was a little bit more moderate and maintain, where now it takes about 5 minutes to mow their yard with an electric mower versus the time it took before or trying to hire the grandkids to do it. And they're much happier, and it's better. They're better off that way doing that. I think it's also because they don't have as much square footage to house the grandkids, so they can say no a lot more often to me and my children. But we find that is a normal progression and a thing that a lot of people are dealing with. And so being able to move into a garden home or being able to move laterally in an apartment, if that's the right move, just is a really good offering to have in your community and something that we feel really good about bringing to you.
Excellent. And I appreciate the presentation. Yeah. I know personally this is something that I've been excited for quite some time.
Oh, good.
And to have this particular type of business model established to meet people where they're at financially is a huge win for our community. So
thank you.
I appreciate your investment in our community without a doubt. So that said, is there any more questions or comments before we move on?
Yeah, I have a question. In your Whiteland area, which I'm very familiar with, down in that market, and I know it's growing like crazy. And I don't know, how long ago did you build that?
So we opened that one in 2024. It's more of a campus. We have an assisted living property there on one side of the campus, and then we have an active adult on the other side. Mm-hmm. They're technically separate projects, separately financed, but they're actually run by one management company. The assisted living opened in June of 24, and the active adult opened up around September of 24.
And what type of occupancy are you running, you think, right now?
So we are about 65% occupancy in the active adult side, and we're about 70-75% on the assisted living right now. So both are still technically in lease up, but they're making really good progress.
You think eventually get filled up?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that we do as a company is we spend a lot of time looking at supply and demand metrics, and we specialize in real estate brands that have significant gaps between supply and demand. And this was happening already before we had these more recent macroeconomic issues with interest rates going up and construction prices going up and up and up, which is my life that I have to deal with. And in this space, there is an overwhelming amount of demand still coming through, and new supply has dropped almost zero. There's just not a lot of people building in the upper ages right now, and really kind of across the board. We know multifamily has slowed down quite a bit. But there's just not a lot of new product coming on. And when you do new product, it takes a long time to get it up. You know, I think it's somewhat of God's comedy is that he took somebody that's very impatient as a person, me, and put me in a business that it takes literally forever to get something done, you know, real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, so this project, you know, we get it underway, hopefully here in July, we'll get under construction. It'll take a year and a half to build it, and then it'll take probably a year and a half to get it fully leased up. And so we got to be really patient. We're well ahead of the curve in our new Whiteland property and doing really well.
So quite obviously you've done the market study here, and what's your anticipation in with occupancy here in Lafayette?
So
5 years, 3 years?
We budgeted a year and a half to get to full occupancy. The market study tells us we'll probably go faster than that.
Yeah.
So we'll probably be moving in 10 or more people every single month until we're full. So any of the cottage type of product that's come on the market has sold out almost immediately. There have been groups like Redwoods and others that have actually done a pretty nice job. And that's a similar type of product, not exactly competitive, but a similar type of product. And they've done really well. And then everything that hits that category, independent living, anything that's in the affordable category, 55 plus in the market, is all completely full with long waiting list. And so our expectation from what we've seen on the market study data, and we've done a couple over time to test that, is that this should fill very, very quickly if we execute. I mean, that's always the question. You got to execute on the management plan, but if we do.
You got a lot of baby boomers moving in there. So I'm at the tail end of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm not ready to go into one yet. So.
It's, you know. I won't go too far into today, but the. Yeah, the economic studies that come out of the national level that look at states and cities all across the community says that this is a massive problem in every community across the United States. Mm-hmm. And the most recent estimate was that there's over $300 billion needed in new investment in this space today. Hmm. Not projecting out 10 years. That's what people have been doing in my space for a long time. They've been kind of chasing age 65 on the boomers. And the estimates are that's needed right now, but almost no new products being created. So it's actually a significant infrastructure problem in our community, in our society. We just don't really know it because we're focused on other things like bridges and tunnels and roads, which is fine, needs to be. But this is probably the bigger infrastructure issue right now, is that we are going to run out of housing for people who are getting older. You know, it's not like they're infirm, right? There is a stage of life in which there may be some healthcare needs and things like that. I've built product like that in this community, and it's actually been a good product to have. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about active, vibrant, living independently, living active, just a place to be that's a little bit more affordable, a little bit more manageable, and there just isn't any of it.
I can give you an idea too, Dave. Snowy Owl Commons, which is out the Twickenham area, it's under construction right now. It's an all-senior complex of affordable cottages. And like I said, it's just now under construction. They're completely full with a waiting list. Mm-hmm.
When you say affordable, can you light me on when you say affordable, but affordable.
Well, so do I.
Because I know what affordable means, maybe, yeah. and somebody else, but I don't know what you're saying.
Their
affordable
project is actually with Area 4 Agency, and they're using low-income housing tax credits, but it's similar to what Zeke said. It's like 40, 60, 80% of the area median income. Rents are based on that, so it's income restricted.
Okay. Yeah, to put that in context, I mean, Tippecanoe County actually has pretty decent median income. It's not as high as like a Johnson County, but it's pretty decent. So to put that in context, an individual can make up to $40,000 to $45,000 a year and still qualify. So if you do the math, in order to make $45,000 a year on a fixed income, you can divide that by 5% or 7% or whatever the return is you can get on an investment portfolio and realize that, whoa, that's a lot of assets you need to have. You know, majority of people who do have that kind of asset are probably going to be selling a home and equitizing whatever they've got in there and paying that off and then hopefully banking that. But then they also have to live. So that's just the housing piece of it. They also got to be able to live. And so when you look at those numbers, there's just a very wide band of people. It's middle America, which is a lot like where we are in Tippecanoe County, middle America, that need a place that's reasonable cost. Mm-hmm. So I'm from Gas City, Indiana. I don't know if many of you know where that is.
Yeah, Gas City's in.
Yeah, it's one of my claim to fames. The City Hall at one point in time, they finally corrected this, said City of Gas City, City Hall. So they didn't really think through that one much, which was a source of joke for us. They eventually just said City Hall, which was kind of nice. But it's 6,000 people, and I talked to a realtor there, and they've had homes selling, you know, they're in the high 300s, low 400s, and the realtors up there are kind of like, how is this possible? I mean, they know what the homes were built for. They've been around a long time. My grandfather did a residential subdivision that took like 30 years to complete. And I know what the homes were built in there for, and the homes are trading at values that in Gas City just seem like stratospheric. And yet they sit on the market for a couple of days. And you think that's what housing is trading for, even in Gas City. And that's not as vibrant as what you have going here. It's a problem. And we do our small part to address it and hopefully relieve a little bit of the burden, but it's a bigger problem overall.
In Gas City, we have James Dean.
That's Fairmount. But Yeah, there's some source of debate about that historically. So yes, he's technically from Fairmount, although we had a James Dean festival for a long time until we got into a fight with Fairmount and we had to name ours Ducktail Run.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
small town politics, right?
Small town politics. All right, very good. Well, I appreciate the information. I know we have a motion and a second on the floor. Do I need to make a re-motion, Counselor?
No, but I do want to give you just a few more details. That was a description of the project, but let me give you a few more details on the bond issuance that you're being asked to approve today. So you are asked to do approvals related to a proposed issuance of economic development revenue bonds in amount not to exceed $2.25 million. These bonds are going to be issued as part of the recently established Residential Housing Infrastructure Fund that was developed to help facilitate residential development, and it's run through the IFA and sets an interest rate at 3%, so a much more favorable interest rate, which is why developers look to it. So the resolution before you affirms a proposed financing. It also confirms there's no evidence that the project will create any substantial competitive harm to existing developments. For your purposes, and important, the bond payments are expected to be covered by tax increment revenues produced by this project. However, we are all, including the developer, aware that the TIF, because it is mixed income, will not be enough to support the bond payment, and there will be a taxpayer agreement in place where the developer is responsible for making that shortfall payment every year. That will be recorded and runs with the land, and so the city is secure in that way. And like I said, everyone involved in this project is aware that that is likely what is going to occur. So if you have any questions about the legal part of the resolution, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you for that explanation. Is there any questions on the legal portion of it? Hearing none, seeing none, I'd like to call the question. There was a motion and a second on the floor to approve Resolution 2025-02. Let's proceed. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Very good. Resolution passes. Good luck with your project, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate
your time.
Yeah, thanks for the time. Yeah.
Now to the most important part of the entire meeting. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved. All right. Second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Yeah, aye. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, I got to get rolling.
Yeah, you do.
David, good seeing you, man.
Take care, man.
Yeah, you too.
You doing all right?
I know why you're...